This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Health Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant physician and leader, Dr. Zev Kane. Zev, can you take a moment and introduce yourself? I'm going to talk to you about your practice, the sort of conference you developed, how you keep yourself thinking and going, and more. Zev?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been following your newsletters and emails for a long time, and I find them extremely beneficial, as most of my friends. So I am a physician, as you mentioned. I'm a thought leader and an innovator. I currently hold the academic rank of a chair's professor at the University of California, and I'm the president of the American College of Medicine. I have an extensive background in operational transformation of hospitals, and value-based care. I started my career as a clinician, as most of us do, and I was a pediatric anesthesiologist, believe it or not, very focused in the care of children, and I spent 20 years of my life at Yale, rising to the rank of the anesthesiologist-in-chief of the Children's Hospital. And then I have decided I want to do more healthcare and healthcare operations. I obtained an MBA from Columbia, and then I moved to the West Coast, where I was first chair of anesthesiology and then dean of clinical operations and the chief medical officer of UC Irvine Health. And I've done that for a few years. And then I've decided that what I really am interested in is to try to bring our entire healthcare up. And so how did this all start? When I functioned in all these administrative roles, I realized that the silos are really the challenge that all of us have. People function in the old space and really don't collaborate that well. And if we're talking about innovative healthcare models such as value-based care and volume to value, you really need to work together. All of us, the administrators, the clinicians, pharma, medical devices, the government. And so I started with an innovative clinical care model called the perioperative surgical home, which is an enhanced recovery after surgery on steroids, and have done well on that, published extensively, implemented it in multiple hospitals. And then I've decided to the next level, take it to the next level and start a conference and a society. But I will stop here and see where you want me to go in the discussion.
No, that's terrific. I mean, how did you end up sort of focusing on this perioperative at home area? And how did you end up building a conference around that area? And tell people a little bit about the conference you do in the perioperative at home or perioperative care area.
So when I started the area, I realized that it's a gigantic area, right? And you have to start somewhere. And to me, the somewhere to start was orthopedics. And it was orthopedics because it is the specialty that controlling a large budget. The 7 of the top 10 most expensive procedures are, in fact, orthopedics and or neurosurgical. And it's the area that was most ready to move forward. Remember the CJR model and so on. So they're ready to move. And quite honestly, they're ready to adopt innovation. And so we have decided to start with that area. You know, when we talk about change, people don't like to change. We all know that. So you need a burning platform. We need people to want to change. And in orthopedics, there is a burning platform. The cost led to changes in delivery care models. So we were positioned right there. So when we decided to start the conference series, we said, okay, it's just not going to be one more conference. We want to have 2 guiding principles. One, we want all the stakeholders there. So we want the orthopedic surgeons, we want the anesthesiologists, we want the healthcare executives, we want the nurses, we want the medical device companies, we want the insurers. Everybody has to be there. And 2, This is not going to be a conference on the theoretical principles of volume to value and so on. It is going to be a practical conference that when people leave on Monday or Sunday, they can implement everything they have learned on Monday. So that's how we approach the conference. And, we set up first a non-for-profit society, the American College of Therapeutic Medicine, because it is an educational mission for us. And we essentially started about 4 years ago now. And of course, the first conference was like, is anyone going to even come, right? It's a very narrow kind of a focus. And much to our surprise, about 250 people actually showed up. So we said, wow. And we just continued to grow from there.
Well, that's fantastic. And how many people do you project coming this year to the conference? If 250 the first year, it's gone great. How big will it be this year?
It's about 500 people. And, you know, we have three tracks. We have an operational track, a clinical track, and a financial track. And in the morning, we have keynote speeches by the leaders in orthopedics. Both academics, so chair of Penn, chair of Hopkins, as well as private practice, like the CEO of Ortho Carolina, the CEO of the Rothman Institute, and so on. And in the afternoon, we have parallel tracks. Friday, we're devoting entirely for the movement from inpatient surgery to outpatient surgery. And I'm sure, as you well know, this is where we are going. So we have decided an entire day will be devoted to that part of our conference. And again, we're taking the usual approach. Everybody is speaking, everybody is engaged, and we tell people who will be there on Friday exactly how to transition their practice. So we're not going to talk about the epidemiology and the frequency. We are actually going to say tomorrow morning you want to move on and move your inpatient surgeries to outpatients. This is what you need to do for contracting. This is what you need to do with the medical device companies. This is what you need to do with your clinical practice, with your billing, and so on.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, it sounds like just a great growth. You've hit a great audience. There's great interest in it, and you're trying to make it very practical. You yourself have this amazing level of energy and motivation and strategic thinking. How do you sort of keep yourself motivated and driven and doing new things and excited about new things? I remember when you first founded this conference and we talked about it, 4 years later, you've turned it into this great success. How do you keep yourself excited and motivated every day, Dr. Kane?
I like to innovate. I like to get up in the morning and think, how can I do things differently? I never accept really things the way they are. Partially, I was born in Israel, as you know, and so I moved here about 30 years ago. And when you grow up in a country like Israel, you think a bit differently. They call Israel the startup nation because of that reason. So I think about things differently. I remember even when on my first day of my anesthesia residency, I was questioning a lot of things and made some people unhappy because I said, well, I understand that that's how you do things, but why? And so I keep on just asking the why question multiple times on things that look fairly simple, on things that have been done the same way for 30 years. And when you ask why enough times, you end up coming up with new things. And that's what we're doing in the conference as well. There are no sacred cows in the conference. We just keep on asking the why question and changing when you need to change. That's the advantage of a nimble organization.
Well, that's fantastic, and Thank you, Zev. That constant focus on why and that energy to keep on trying to improve things and that nervous energy, that strong effort, that passion just shows through in everything that you do. It's a really fantastic thing. Can you take a moment and talk about strategy and strategy for reaching your audience, strategy for engaging people at the conference and solving this problem of perioperative care and sort of post-acute care as well, you know, caring at home, hospital home, caring at home issues. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
So you've touched on perhaps the most important part, which is how do you execute this? And you have to divide it into pieces. And the first question is the conference itself. I must admit that it wasn't an easy conference to promote. Because typically people focus in their promotion process on one aspect. Like if you're an orthopedic surgeon, hey, we're going to talk to you about the latest device. And so we took the approach of really promoting the teamwork and breaking the silos. And really the strategy is to bring a healthcare executive to the conference and actually having him exposed to clinical lectures. And at the same time, bringing an orthopedic surgeon to the conference and actually having him exposed to finance lectures, right? Because, you know, the orthopedic surgeon can go to the AAOS, but he's not going to meet the executives there at the same time. So the idea is to bring everybody together and cross-fertilize everybody. We're trying to approach the strategy of cross-fertilization in our promotion as well. It works, but you have to be very deliberate with the way you do things. During the conference, we do a few interesting things. For example, there are assigned seatings. So we want to avoid situations where people, all the orthopedic surgeons sit together and talk about their latest surgeries. We instead have tables that are artificially organized, and in each table you'll have two orthopedic surgeons, two anesthesiologists, two healthcare executives, two nurses, a medical device person, and so on. So we do that. We don't have titles on the name tags because we found that the nurses are intimidated by this. We found that the conference is too expensive for nurses, so we do tons of scholarships for nurses, tremendous amount, just to make sure that they are in the conference as well, because they just can't afford the conference. And post-conference, we just continue to engage with them. About 40% of the people who come are teams of three or more. And those typically continue to engage with us after the conference, and I help them with implementation of the various initiatives.
Well, Zev, fantastic. I want to congratulate you on what you've done. It's simply amazing. Zev, can you give people information on where they could find you or find out more about the conference that you've founded and that's going great? How do they find out more about this? If people want to attend, if you want to learn more about it, if they want to sponsor it, however they want to interact with it, how do they learn more?
Thank you, Scott. So the conference is going to be in Newport Beach on February 28th through March 1. If they will go to the web and type in ACPM, American College of Perioperative Medicine, so just the first letter, ACPM.health, H-E-A-L-T-H, ACPM.health, that will bring you to the homepage of the society. And in the bottom, there is a big thing that says, our conferences this year in Newport Beach. You click on that and it brings you to all the three conferences that we have.
That is fantastic, Zev. What a fantastic thing you've done. I want to congratulate you and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott, very much. I appreciate everything you do. Bye-bye.